you said in the bleak future or so, because in the video, for instance, we saw at some point that was there was a what was it like a non-proliferation act of quantum technologies, which made me smile a bit. And yeah, like she said, in the 50s, did people say that about normal computers? Because also in the 50s, the computers were giving like a tremendous advantage to countries from a military perspective, but it didn't prevent research to be funded, promoted, and nowadays we use computers for everything almost. I mean, I came using Google Maps this morning. We use LinkedIn to find a job or everything. So we actually saw some positive applications despite the gloomy, I would say, military implications that the classical computers represented in the 50s. And it's very much, and those two scenarios are very much alike. And like you mentioned also, I think trying to prevent or control or keep research on quantum computers secret would not really be, positive or actually, what's the right word for it? It wouldn't really contribute to the community or to the world as a whole. I would rather see the research in quantum computing be open and actually be collaborative and actually be open yet to everyone who wants to partake in it. Then there is the question of, what are we going to do with it once this is built? But it's the same thing with almost every technology. Like recently, there was this GDPR laws about privacy in Europe. And because we saw that, okay, we have all these computers now, but now we have to care about the privacy of our users. It was a bit late, but at least better late than never. And it's just towards this kind of political decisions that people should think about rather than preventing it concerning quantum computers, rather which implications it's going to have and how can we protect people while still at the same time ripping off all the benefits we can from it. And that was just a remark concerning what you said.
So you mentioned something that sounded a lot like